I'm Sina.
I'm Danielle.
We want to focus on television and movies in particular.
Yes. Disclaimer that we are in no way film experts. A deep, like, dive. Be quiet!
Whoa.
I'm yelling.
Back me up on this one.
Hey, you're listening to
Two Girls Watch TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Two Girls Watch TV. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Sina. Danielle, I need to let you know that the last time we recorded, well, first of all, this episode is late because I had the flu.
And you know what? I was out of commission. Christina was out of commission. And you know what? She's allowed to take the sick days. All right?
I was beyond, at one point, I thought I was beyond repair.
It would have been funny recording because I feel like it would have been equivalent to like when Leslie Knope went to go do the presentation when she had the flu. Do you remember that?
Oh my God. It would have been, oh my God. I cannot. It was awful. And I just kept texting Danielle and I was like, do you mind if we don't? And then I got tested and they were like, you have the flu. And I was like, and then I think in the office, I was like really bummed. And I was like, oh, well, at least we know what it is. That was my silver lining because I was like, what is going on with me? I can't figure it out. It's more than, I just knew it was more than a cold at that point.
Yeah, the flu really knocks you on your ass. I haven't gotten it since I was in like eighth grade.
But I will say, since I've been eating a lot better than the last time I had the flu.
Yeah.
The body aches. We're nowhere near as bad.
Oh, well, that's good.
That's an interesting thing that I noticed this time around because the last time my back, oh my God, I was in so much pain for like days.
Mm.
Yeah. But I'm a little better now. I might have some coughing fits. I'm prepared to mute myself.
Yeah. A fair warning to everyone.
Yeah. So just like, you know, if you have earbuds in, be prepared to pull them out. Everything's fine. But Danielle, you gave me homework with our last episode because I was on my way to Ireland and you told me to watch movies on the plane.
Ooh, I'm so excited. I completely forgot about this, but then like
movies
I was thinking about, oh, Christina. Oh, I get to hear about what Christina watched on the plane. I hope she tells me. Okay. I'm so excited. What'd you watch on the plane?
I did my homework on the way back because on the way there, I was adamant about going to sleep.
Well, you were on a red eye, so that's completely understandable.
Yes. But on the way back, I watched two movies that I've been dying to watch.
Okay.
And just never did. So I watched Baby Driver.
Oh, I've never seen that. That's with, is that Ansel Elgort? Whatever the hell his name is.
I think so. And Kevin Spacey's in it.
Mm-hmm.
John Hamm is in it.
Oh, John Hamm is in it. He's in everything.
He is. And then the other movie that I watched, which I was really excited about, was The Big Short.
Oh, that's a good movie.
It is. And I had never seen it. So I watched both of those back to back on my flight home.
How did you like both of them?
I really liked both of them.
Yeah. I've never seen Baby Driver. I know that I feel like Nicholas has watched it. The Big Short, Nicholas actually made me watch. I think it was his birthday. And I was in the middle of COVID. And I'm like, you get to pick what we order for dinner, and you get to pick the movie. And Big Short was the movie he picked.
Okay.
Do you think that I know exactly what the main premise I can't remember all the particulars of The Big Short. I just know that it was betting on the stock market, the housing market crashing in
betting against the housing market because there were a lot of people that were I forget what they called them. And there's another version of them that exists now, apparently.
Yep.
But they were making these loans and they weren't really backed by anything like the previous loans. And so the difference between like B, double B, A, double A of the different types of loans. And
it was like they were, weren't they like bundling loans together? Like people who had poor credit scores, they were giving them really high loans because they were like condensing them all together. This is a really, really poor way to describe it. We are obviously not the women in finance. We don't know what we're talking about.
Women in finance.
We are not in high finance.
Yeah. So basically they talked about those different types of bundling. They talked about just giving everybody the same level of like allowance when it came to a mortgage at the same type of level, regardless of what your credit was.
Mm-hmm.
And people were getting away with it for so long that they were actually bragging about how they were able to give mortgages away. And so there were like a bunch of different people who knew that this was not good. And Steve Carell was one of, his character was one of them.
Yep.
That owns that smaller firm. And he, at one point he's like, I don't get it. Why are they confessing? And his coworkers were like, they're not confessing. They're bragging. They think this is like totally acceptable.
Yeah.
But so it was his firm. It was the one guy that,
oh, what the hell is his name? He played Batman. Now it's not coming to me. Oh, Christian Bale.
Yeah.
There we go.
Christian Bale's, but I'm trying to think of the name of his character in the,
oh, I can't.
In the movie, it's escaping me. It. Christian Bale's character is the first one that we're exposed to that's like, this, I want to bet against this. Because he was the only person who actually went through and read all this shit. People weren't reading them. They're like, nobody's going to bet on the housing market, against the housing market. Everybody pays their mortgage. And he's like, well, I read all of these mortgages and like, this is basically bullshit.
His character was so interesting in that movie because he was truly like a man of high finance. But he also was just so, so smart, like otherworldly smart. And that's why he was able to see it. And he had the confidence because when he shorted the housing market, you know, everyone said, pull out, like, stop doing, like, just stop. But he, like, maintained, no, it's going to crash. And then when it finally did, I remember, like, wasn't it him with the chalkboard where he, like, said how much money he made off of it?
It wasn't the money, it was the percentage, because they were waiting for it to hit, I think it was 15%.
Yeah.
And once it hit that, it was going to crash. But there was, I forget what it was, but it kept hitting in that area. And the government, or the banks rather, just kept buckling down. And they were like, nope, we're going to, they were trying to like dodge it, I guess.
Yeah.
And so these three, and then there was this other group, these two guys who had like this startup business, they found his paperwork and then they also wanted in on it. And then that's where they got involved with Brad Pitt's character, who was like retired from Wall Street. So these three, like basically groups or characters of people knew this was going to happen. And they were like, well, what the fuck? Like, it's supposed to crash. Why isn't it crashing? And everybody else is like, none the wiser.
Yeah.
So that's why all of those groups were panicking and they were pressuring Christian Bale's character to get the money back because they were like, this isn't going to happen. But they all knew that it was. And then eventually
it did. Did you like the cameo by Max Greenfield, a.k.a. Schmidt?
Of course. You know, I love anybody from New Girl doing new things, which is actually what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Look, I found our segue.
Look at that. So today, Danielle and I are really excited to talk about this new movie called Self-Reliance, which is available on Hulu.
Hulu. It is written and directed by one Jake Johnson of New Girl.
And starring.
And starred in, yep.
Stuck in a rut, Tommy is offered the opportunity to put his boring life aside and participate in a 30-day game that could potentially cost him his life.
So, no nominations. But like I said, it was directed, written, and starring Jake Johnson, who plays Tommy, who is a vet on this podcast. He's a recently dumped man in his 30s who is, I also wrote, who is stuck in a rut until the game starts. He meets Maddie, played by Anna Kendrick. We've never watched a movie with Anna Kendrick, have we?
Well, you and I have watched Pitch Perfect.
excuse me. Hold on, let's take a hard time out here. If you are listening to this podcast and you've never watched Pitch Perfect, A, what are you doing with your life? And B, watch Pitch Perfect.
And C, why has nobody requested that we watch Pitch Perfect on this podcast?
Yeah. Can someone message us and say, hey, watch Pitch Perfect?
We needed an excuse.
Not that we're the ones who are picking the things, but no, we need you guys to let us know.
You pick it for us.
Okay. So Maddie answered Tommy's Craigslist ad and is also playing the game, so we think. James, a.k.a. Walter, played by Are you ready to hear what this actor's name is?
Oh, I know. But it's go ahead.
Biff Whiff. Mm-hmm. Man's name is Biff Whiff. He's he's a homeless man that Tommy pays and befriends, who follows him around every day. Tommy's mom is Lori, played by Nancy Lanahan. Tommy's sisters are Amy, played by Mary Holland, and Mary, played by Emily Hampshire, who is also a vet on this podcast because she was in Schitt's Creek. His brother-in-law, did you know that?
I do now.
His brother-in-law is Malcolm, played by Daryl J. Johnson. Andy Samberg plays himself, and Wayne Brady plays himself. So let's get into our climax. Maddie takes a step away from Tommy, and he doesn't know how to handle it. It's revealed that she actually wasn't playing the game. She was just bored and lonely. Tommy's family attempts to stage an intervention. He runs away with Walter and goes to live under a bridge. He makes it to the finale of the game. He returns to the warehouse from the beginning of the movie. And we, the viewer, kind of get the vibe that maybe this is all in his head. But the whole crew from the game comes out and congratulates him as the winner of the show.
Ah. So after they all send him congratulations, he then builds up the nerve to knock on Maddie's door and ask her out on another date. And this is where our movie ends.
Oh, also, he wins the money, but it is a weird conversion rate. So
right.
he gets it back in monthly installments of like $1,400.
And it's, yeah, a currency that doesn't, yeah, it doesn't. He won, but did he win? Is really the question. So on IMDb, this was a 6.1 out of 10.
On Rotten Tomatoes, the critics gave this a 72%, and the audience gave it a 61%.
Okay, so we're like all around the same area.
Yeah.
Metacritic, it was, the Metascore is a 59, and the user score is a 6.8. So it's all like around the same.
Yeah, very, very middle of the road.
So I tried to find an interesting review. But people don't write interesting reviews anymore.
No, they don't.
And honestly, Danielle and Franz, this is the part of my notes that takes the longest.
Trying to find a good review?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I read through like dozens of them. Like just so many to find something that I think would give me material. And there's a lot of times where I'm grasping. There's sometimes where I choose one at random to have fun with it. But when I'm really trying to find a good review, it takes me a long time.
A couple episodes back, I'm pretty sure it was for Killers of the Flower Moon. I almost read a review where it was just a woman reviewing the movie theater that she went to and how the seat was broken. Nothing.
You should have done that one.
Nothing to do with the movie, had nothing to say about the movie, just really wanted that movie theater to know that her seat was broken.
It's so upsetting, but this one, it's not my favorite review, but it gives me stuff to work with and okay. it bodes questions that I think are important.
Okay.
Or could be. So it's a 2 out of 10 and it's titled So Much Missed Potential.
Okay.
What a unique premise. I had such high hopes going into this. Here's the one thing it was missing that could have made it an amazing movie. A twist. Now, if there's only one thing missing from a movie, that does not deem it a 2 out of 10.
No.
I'm gonna stop this person right there, but okay. So you think there's a twist coming. Hell, I would have bet money on the fact that there was a twist coming. Here are a list of cool twists. Okay. Anna Kendrick is a killer, not a contestant. The homeless dude is a killer, not a contestant. 3, my favorite. There's no game at all, and the protagonist is as delusional as everyone around him thinks. Hell, when he's at the warehouse at the end screaming into the darkness about how he won, where's the money? I thought, holy crap, they did it. There's no game. Holy crap, this is amazing. Granted, that would have made a pretty dark movie, but hell, dark is better than what it was. Useless, no surprises. And the surprises were what? The weird foreign money paid out over 250 years or something like that? This movie just fell absolutely and totally flat. It's a shame because it could have gone in many much better directions. I would have preferred him to wake up in a mental hospital than the way that it did. Oh, so, so disappointed.
Okay, so...
I'm not saying I feel this way.
No, no, no. But it is a good point to bring up because I think everyone watching this movie has a moment where they're like, oh, crap, is this all in his head? And we start to question him. And I almost think that that's intentional in a way. Like, I think he wants us to feel that way. Especially when he's living under the bridge. You're like, where is this movie going?
Bridge scene was funny. But I agree. I mean, I agree that it's like, where is it going? What's happening here? And I think that to make somebody think deep thoughts like that in 90 minutes or less, because this is a 90-minute movie, I think that that's that's a strong thing to do, and it's a tough beat to tackle.
I agree.
So I'm just going to, there's only so much you could do in 90 minutes.
That's true.
But I digress.
And there's also so little you could do in 3.5 hours.
I don't understand how we can have the same amount of plot in 90 minutes and 3.5 hours. I don't understand, but that is absolutely 100% correct. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
You're welcome.
Thank you for reminding me how I wasted my time and how I could have done 3.5 hours in 90 minutes. Thank you.
So I grabbed a 3 out of 5 star review. It's just all right. It was not subtle at all with its messaging, especially.
You want some espresso with that especially?
No, I don't. I apologize. Okay. There's no X. It's an ESP. Especially by the end of the film. And shame on these review sites looking at you Rotten Tomatoes that don't give Biff Whiff the proper recognition. The interactions with him were the majority of the comedy delivered in this film. It's a fine film to pass the time, but you won't take much away from it. Do with that as you will.
Ooh. My heavens.
So.
Well, all right, with that, let's go into it. It's a 90-minute movie.
It's a 90-minute movie.
And were there things that I wanted out of it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get all those things? No. Was I expecting to get all those things? No. You can't do it all. You know what movie does it all in 90 minutes?
What?
Toy Story. But then they made, and I'm not going to count all of them, but then they made 2 more that kind of rounded it off. The rest of them are absolute complete dumpster fire from hell garbage. And I won't even talk to you about how they're making a Toy Story 6 right now, or 5.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. If you ever want to hear our full reviews, you can go back and listen to our Toy Story 4. Which one did we do? Did we do Toy Story 4?
We did Toy Story 4, I think, with Steve and Chris.
Yeah.
So are they coming out with a 5 or a 6?
I would think a 5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Toy Story 5 in 2026.
There you go. Easy mistake.
Yeah. Is a mistake.
We're not women of high finance and numbers.
We're just going to keep adding to that list.
Oh, man. Okay.
Sorry. I'm wheezing. Sorry.
I do want to talk about a high of the movie. So... if you have listened to Christine and I's podcast for a while, you would know that we oftentimes reveal that we watch a lot of reality TV. And with reality TV comes the myth of the reality TV production person or the production assistant, the PAs, the producers.
The ninjas.
The people in the background who you don't know, who, when you're watching The Bachelor, you're like, oh, the production's in their ear telling them to do that. And you hear it a lot when you like if you listen to like the reality TV people's podcasts or you hear them speak. You know, there is a lot of things they're pulling behind the scenes of the production. And I thought that the representation of that mystery production person on this was incredible. I thought it was very funny. They just all of a sudden appear out of nowhere in complete black and they're ninjas. And it's great. It's hysterical.
I did like that. That was a nice little component to it. I did appreciate that.
Because at the end of the day, this is a reality TV show. So they're in the background pulling the strings.
It's true. It's true. I love Jake Johnson's comedy. Mm-hmm. If you watch New Girl and you... To watch New Girl is to know New Girl. And to know New Girl is to appreciate and the many, many Jake Johnson rants. Mm-hmm. And that my favorite one was his rant where he's like, I'm going to kill Andy Samberg. It's just, I love it. It's so funny.
Yeah. And I did think that he and Walter really played off each other very well.
Oh, that was very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. There were a lot of reviews that talked about a lack of comedy here. I found myself laughing quite a bit, like steadily through this. I mean, I wasn't like rolling over.
Yeah.
But I was laughing a lot.
I think the problem is that, and perhaps maybe this goes a little bit more into my expectation as well, is that when you hear him, you expect like a Nick Miller 2.0. But that's not what you got here.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think you kind of did. I think this is what would happen if Nick Miller never met Jessica Day.
That's true. It could very well be. But I think that maybe he was trying to write the comedy a little bit different than New Girl so that he wouldn't be compared to it.
Right.
Yeah. I liked that one Michael Jackson specific joke about he's like, there was a giant. He was dressed like the guy from Thriller. He had a red jacket on with the zippers. And the guy's like, no, that was from the Beat It music video. That wasn't the Thriller music video. He's like, thanks for confirming. Because you know what? I also like Michael Jackson. I thought that like subtle joke was really funny. And I appreciated that. I also thought that Jake Johnson and Anna Kendrick did a really good job together. Like,
how about when he picked his brother-in-law up off the toilet while he's trying to take a crap?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or when they're like trying to, he's like, we're going to have to sleep in the same bed. And he's like, I don't want to sleep in the same bed with you. And he's like, all right, cool. But I have to. Like, those bits I thought were funny, too.
Yeah. No. They were good. They were good. Good bits.
I think my biggest low was that I saw so many different twists coming here, and I don't think that it would have added too much time to it. Like, I also thought that Anna Kendrick?
Maybe it is Anna Kendrick. I have kind of questioned myself. I've been saying Anna a lot.
You committed, so I don't
I did commit to Anna. So someone can call and let me know. So someone reach out to me. Call me, beat me. If you want to reach me, let me know if I'm saying it correctly or not.
If you want a pager, it's okay.
Send a carrier pigeon. I'll open my window.
Like, I wish I knew a little bit more in terms of, like, so I get, like, when she's like, I don't know what's going on. And she's like, I was just really lonely. It's like, okay. Would love to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I felt like that storyline kind of got left open-ended. I think that him knocking on her door in the end to ask her on a date mimics him constantly trying to knock on his ex's door and then finally like doing it because Maddie told him to. So it kind of like he started the movie with like very little self-confidence and then he ended it in like a more confident place. And I also felt like I just lost my train of thought mid-sentence.
All good. I mean, I'll tell you the one thing is I feel like she got a lot of information from, like, this being on the dark web because she showed up with her mom. She knew all the rules of the game.
Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming that all of that was in the Craigslist ad.
So, like, couple plot holes here that kind of bothered me. My thought was that if they, when she first came and she first appeared and she said, hey, you know, I'm playing this game and blah, 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 and let's stick together so we can't be killed. In my mind, my thought was, couldn't they both be killed together because they're both playing the game? Therefore, like, they can't. The whole point of the game was that you can't have outside civilians who can be killed. But if both people were playing the game, then wouldn't they both be able to be killed if they were both together?
I thought about that as well, but I guess it's the loophole, right? You have to be alone. So,
well, at the end of the day, it was not necessarily a loophole because she was not playing the game. That's the thing. So she was technically an outside person, so they could not kill. But when I was like first hearing this, I was like, this kind of doesn't make sense. It would just it would make sense for both of them to be killed.
I just thought she was trying to gain his trust and then she was going to kill him.
I thought that as well. I definitely thought that.
I also thought the homeless man was going to kill him at one point, too.
I know. Especially when he went missing. Yeah, you're like, what's going on here?
Not only that, but when he turns around and he's like, you got this. Like, I thought that he was going to kill him the whole time and then he had a change of heart. Like, there were so many other, like, even if it ended the exact same way that it was and we saw the homeless, I forget the homeless guy's name.
Walter.
Walter.
But his real name was...
Bithwith.
No. Kept calling him James. Was his name James or Walter? I forget what it was. Anyway.
I think he called him James and his real name was Walter.
Yes, there we go.
So anyway, if like Walter and Maddie came out as like possible killers, or at least Walter did, and like he kind of said like, I had you, but like, I just had so much faith in you. Like, I don't know, something where it was like you thought that he was going to be a killer, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, listen, there's a decent amount of action here. There's definitely a decent amount of suspense, I think. Mm-hmm. But it would have been cool if there was a little twist.
Yeah. Why did Tommy never try to search the shell on the dark web?
I don't know. The show found him, right?
Yeah. But there was no rule where you cannot look up the show on the dark web. He just immediately went along with it. I would think that, hey, you're going to join the show. You're looking at all these like little cameras and picking them up. Why wouldn't you try to go on the internet and go on the dark web and find the show? There was a moment in the intervention where his family was like, we hired people and we couldn't find the show on the dark web, which also kind of leads you to believe at the end, was he actually making it all up?
Right.
But I don't know why he himself never tried to find the show on the dark web.
I don't know.
Because if it was indeed like all in his head, he could also pretend like he went online, found the show, and then like he's seeing himself doing things. I feel like that would have made for more comedic moment. Or just simply say, Andy Samberg, you cannot look up the show on the dark web. Make that a rule of the game. I felt like that was just a little plot hole for her that didn't make any sense.
Honestly, the only thing that I can think of, and it's kind of lame, is that he was so infatuated with the loophole that he didn't think about anything else.
What, the, like, you need to be next to someone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was his main thing.
Also, I just wanted to note that the movie takes place in Los Angeles. Is the vibe I got?
Okay.
I would just say that it's Los Angeles, and that's where this movie takes place. $1 million wouldn't be able to buy Walter a house in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's true. Also, he's a man of little research.
He didn't make the joke. He said, like, you know, when I win this $1 million, I'd like to buy you a house, Walter. It's like, where are you gonna buy it? Where are you gonna buy the house?
He needs $1 million a year for the rest of his life.
Where are you going to buy the house? All right. Have you looked at the housing market recently? Have you watched The Big Short? You ain't buying him a house.
Danielle, it's a 90-minute movie. Everybody forgets.
I know. I'm just being picky, but that's pick. I just like to remind everyone that the song If I Had $1 Million, I'd Be Rich is irrelevant at this point because...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, If I Had $1 Million, I'd be upper middle class.
Well, remember that they came out with the song I Want to Be a Billionaire So Fucking Bad. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. You had to level that up really quickly.
Up the ante. Gotta up
this,
the ante.
This inflation, man, it's really...
This inflation sensation. It's out of control. I don't know what's happening. I think I'm delusional at this point.
Well, you are coming out of the flu, so it's fine.
I am coming out of the floozy.
Did you have any more highs or lows?
No, those are the main ones that I wanted to point out.
Okay. What'd you eat while watching this?
I don't remember.
She doesn't remember. It was all blur. Cough drops.
All dreams. I remember having a cup of tea.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was this movie or another movie, but Dave bought a bunch of Reese's.
You did have some Reese's when you had the, when you,
Yes.
Good for you.
These are the thins, right? So I took a couple of them and I put them in the freezer and then I took like little baby bites.
Actually, you know what? Let me tell the story. So the last time I had the flu, I was in eighth grade and I was in my bed for 2 days. What?
Not you, Dave. He's always making noise when we're recording. God.
I was in my bed for 2 days and I remember just lifting my head up and my dad force feeding me orange juice even though I hated it, and I it makes me vomit, didn't like it, but they're like, you need vitamin C. But then I remember them saying, we're gonna go out, what do you want, do you want anything while we're out? And I just go, Reese's peanut butter cups. And then I went back to bed and I woke up to a big thing of Reese's peanut butter cups right next to my face. And I felt better.
That's amazing. I'm here for that.
Yeah. So 100%. I hope the Reese's also made you feel better.
Thank you. For a moment.
Sorry, I forgot to mention that you need to be asleep and Dave needed to place them next to your head. Because there's no better feeling than waking up and seeing the Reese's next to your head.
I would love to wake up to snacks. That sounds like a great way to wake up. So I'm here for that. But yeah, I think that's what I had. I think. What did you have?
Okay. So I had a little salad that I was making this week, or that I was watching this. It was spinach, quinoa, red bell pepper, cucumbers, chickpeas, and then I found a recipe and I made a homemade tahini dressing. So It's tahini, lemon juice, olive oil, water, and then I chopped up parsley and garlic, and you put it in like a mason jar and you chick 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 chick, you shake it up.
Chick 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 chick. This is great audio content.
What do you mean? I did the sound effect with my mouth.
I'm aware. You guys got that? You guys got how many chick chicks you need to make this dressing?
So yeah, I made that all together. It was really delicious.
That sounds really good. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I want some. You need to give me that recipe for what you made when we watched Oppenheimer again, because I definitely want to make that like every other day. It was really good.
I'll send it over.
Thank you. My salad game is getting a little boring. So
Gotta spice things up.
Switch it up. What was your expectation versus reality?
Okay, so I will say I was the one who suggested we watch this movie.
You did.
I was at the movie theater, which I told you, I want to go see a movie once a month, and I've been keeping to it.
Oh, you saw this in theaters?
No. I went to go see Anyone But You, the Sydney Sweeney Glenn Powell romantic comedy, and this was a movie trailer to that movie. Because what's even better than going to the movies? Watching the movie trailers. So, it's one of the best parts of the movies. I think I told you when we were at the movie theater that I love when you get so engrossed in the trailers that you have to look to the person next to you and be like, wait, what did we come to go see again?
What did we come here for? Yeah. So I grew up in a household where it's like, we could be 20 minutes late for the movie. The movie ain't even going to start yet. So which parent do you think had that philosophy?
What? The show up.
We can go 20 minutes late. The movie ain't even going to be starting until after that. Which parent do you think that philosophy came from?
Well, see, Christina, I once used to go to church at the same time as you. And I used to see the same parent who had, as long as you're there for the homily, it counts.
And by this day, Danielle, by this day today, I still live by that philosophy. Not the homily, the gospel.
Oh, excuse me. As long as you hear, who cares about the first two readings? As long as you hear the gospel and the homily, you're good.
Because the other parent was up at 6 o'clock in the morning in preparation for the 7 o'clock mass because he would run into too many people if he went later.
Honestly, love that energy for him.
He said, there's too many people and there's too much music. And everybody's got to sing songs.
That man never said, no, he had to step foot in the Nutley ShopRite. I know, but like, I'm sure he avoided it. Like
he worked at ShopRite. He could go to whatever ShopRite he wanted. And he would go in at like 6 o'clock in the morning and get all of his shit done.
Yeah. Yeah. Hysterical. So.
So not my dad.
Not your dad.
Yes, correct. Oh, that's a Deborah-ism.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. So I saw the movie trailer of this, and I was like, ooh, this looks really, really good. And I should tell Nick and I shall tell Christina to watch this. They were the first two people to come to my mind. So I thought it was a great concept, and I had very high expectations. I would say, at the end of the day, it was okay. I can see the middle-of-the-road reviews for this. I was content with it.
I think if you like Jake Johnson, you're going to like this movie.
Yeah.
Because you understand his sense of humor, you understand his style, you understand his comedic delivery. And even though it's not Nick Miller, even though I said that it might be like Nick Miller in a different parallel universe, but still, it's still Jake Johnson, like yeah. as an actor,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I liked that part. But so... What were you actually expecting, like, when you sat down to watch this, though?
I was expecting a comedy thriller, and I feel like at the end of the day, I got that.
So, yeah. I also thought that it was going to be, like, this melodramatic with elements of comedy. This guy who's a moocher learns to, like, live without other people and, like, do it on his own. And then I sat down and watched it. And I was like, I don't think this is going the way that I thought it was going to go. And so I actually watched it with Dave. And so we sit down, the car comes over, he gets pulled into the car. And then Dave goes, this is going to be one of those movies where he goes on like a hunt and humans are going to hunt him and kill him. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's absurd. And then that was exactly what happened. I don't understand. I think I must have asked him like 10 times, how did you know? How did you figure it out? And I just get shrugs in response. So I might ask him what the lottery numbers are. Up to 800 million now?
Yeah, I was going to say it's up now, right now.
It is. So that was my expectation versus reality. And it was like living on two different planets. Did you have an IRL moment?
No, I couldn't think of one for this movie. Did you?
I don't. Honestly, I thought about it and I was like, I wouldn't even know where to start if I were to look for the dark web.
Me neither.
And I think you and I had this conversation when we first started this podcast because mm-hmm. the very first episode we did was How to Sell Drugs Online Fast.
Yeah.
And we talked about the dark web. Yeah. And I think still have the same answer. Those years ago.
We don't know how to get on it. And honestly, we're not looking to get on it. But if I was pulled into a van or a limo, excuse me, and Andy Samberg told me about this game, and I wound up agreeing to be a part of the game, you better believe that's the moment where I start looking for the dark web and finding the game.
You're Googling.
I'm Googling.
Googling.
How to get on dark web. Manhunt game. I was.
I agree. No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Also, apparently there's a Craigslist on the dark web.
Well, no, I think that was just like regular Craigslist. I don't think it was a dark web Craigslist. I think it was just Craigslist.
I thought it was a dark web Craigslist.
Nope. I think it's just regular old Craigslist with its purple peace sign.
Do you think that there's a Craigslist on the dark web?
Yeah, but it's like Craigslist or something like that. It's
Craigslist. Shut up. Oh, God.
That got you? That hit your funny bone?
That was very silly. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I will pocket that. And on that note, we did it. That's everything, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, friends, we're going to do NIAID. We're going to push everything back because I was out of commission. So this is coming out. When is this? This is for this Friday, the 28th. 28th.
You're off a day. It's okay. It's the 29th.
Man, I keep doing this. 29th. Oh, now I fucked up a whole bunch of stuff at work. I wrote the wrong day because my calendar was on 2025. I got to backtrack. But before that, I'm going to sign off. NIAID will come out the following week. We're on Instagram and Twitter, still putting together our April schedule. Send us requests. Quest pitch perfect.
Yeah.
And hey, it's two girls. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Classic Tina. Danielle's on Instagram at Danielle Kobianki. Email us with recommendations, with reviews, just to say hi. twogirlswatchtv@gmail.com. Two is spelled out T-W-O. And the YouTube channel is Two Girls Drink Beer.
All right, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.